Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got a subject matter today that I think is going to be of interest to all of you who listen, and be sure and tell your friends about it, because if they miss the show, then they can always go into the archives and hear it at their own convenience. But we're going to be talking about prescription drugs. We're especially going to be talking about statins, one in particular, Lipitor, the thief of memory. Statin drugs and the misguided war on cholesterol is our topic for the day. Dr. Dwayne Gravelin is with me today in Florida, and I want to welcome you to the show.
It's my pleasure, Donna.
It's been a pleasure to be able to get this second book of yours regarding statins. I want my audience to know that you're a former astronaut, an aerospace medical research scientist, you've been a flight surgeon, and you're also a family doctor. And you had a very personal experience regarding Lipitor. Would you tell us about that experience, please?
In 1999, at Johnson Space Center, where I go each year for my astronaut physical, I was advised that Lipitor should be added, or Lipitor should be started. I was taking no prescription drugs, but because my cholesterol had been climbing gradually over the previous several years, and now it had reached something like 260, the decision was made that I should start it. I had no reasons not to. I had absolutely no problems with statin drugs at that point, 1999. Remember, back then we were all riding the statin causation bandwagon. As far as we were concerned, cholesterol was our enemy.
And when you say we, you're referring to physicians in general.
The entire medical community. Back in 1999, we all thought cholesterol was our enemy, and that includes me.
Mm-hmm.
They decided on 10 milligrams, so I went home on 10, confident, and in 6 weeks I had my blood drawn. My cholesterol had dropped precipitously to 155. I was just pleased as could be. The next day, my wife saw me aimlessly wandering about the front yard, and I did not know who she was. I did not know my home, and she offered me cookies and milk, which I took. She tried to get me in the house. I refused. I mean, she's a beautiful woman, however, and I did not know her, and she couldn't get me in the car, and only by virtue of calling my family doctor, whom I'd known for 40 years, and my hearing his voice she enticed me into her car. And off we went to the hospital. The diagnosis, 6 hours after 6 hours with the neurologist, the diagnosis finally was transient global amnesia. This is a special form of amnesia wherein you can't formulate new memory and you retrograde. In my case, I'd retrograded some 10 years in the past. That's why I didn't know my new wife. And the same thing for the house. But the doctor, I'd known him for 40 years. But you just don't formulate new memory. You keep asking the same questions over and over again. You can talk, but you can't communicate because you can't remember for 1 second what someone just told you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that started this off. This was my first episode of TGA. It lasted 6 hours. And I had an MRI, which was normal the following day. And I quit on my own. For me, as a family doctor with 23 years experience, I only needed to be hit that once. I mean, this was reason enough. This was the only medicine I was on. But when I mentioned this to the other doctors involved, the neurologist and the emergency room team, I said, hey, what about this new medicine I just started 6 weeks ago? Don't you think this should be considered? No, absolutely no. Statins do not do this. And that went on for the next year. But regardless of this, I quit the drug on my own. I've been a family doctor for 23 years. I knew there was some reason to be suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next year, I go back after an absolutely normal year. And Johnson Space Center is quite concerned that I went ahead and quit on my own because, of course, my cholesterol was right back up where it was before. And they said, it's pure coincidence. Statins don't do this. We want you to go back on it. Because I had had no confirmation from any doctor or pharmacist in the previous year, I decided to go along with this, and I restarted at half the previous dose. I restarted at 5 milligrams, which is a very, very small dose. 2 months passed. Then I had my worst episode of transient global amnesia. This time, I was 13 years old for a 12-hour period. I was
13 years old. You regressed back to that.
I was a high school student. I knew every kid in my class. I knew my teachers, knew my books, knew my assignments. When they told me I was married with children, and when they told me I was a doctor, I laughed hysterically. I mean, this was an incredible experience for me. And I woke up spontaneously, and almost within a few seconds, I'm back to normal again in the emergency room, wondering how I got there and why and everything else. And that was my second episode. And, of course, this was the episode that triggered my going into the field of research, come out of retirement, where I've been very comfortable for several years, and decided to get back into medical research and tackle this subject, the little-known side effects of the statin drugs. My first book was Lipitor, Thief of Memory, only because I was focused on memory, and I just happened to be taking Lipitor. I soon learned that the real problem had to do with all the statins, because they all work the same way. They're all reductase inhibitors, and they all, so it wasn't just a Lipitor problem, and it wasn't just a statin, it wasn't just the cognitive problem. So the next book I wrote that had a more appropriate title, that was Statin Drug Side Effects.
You have a Dr. J.S. Cohen that gave the foreword in this book on Lipitor, Thief of Memory. And he said that the lowest dose that you had been given at the time during the second situation you went through was not so low after all. Based on your cholesterol and LDL levels, 2.5 milligrams might have been adequate, but you got 400% more medication than you actually needed. And he goes on to talk about how the serious side effects are chronic muscle pain, muscle injury, liver injury, kidney injury, psychological changes, cognitive impairments, and as you experience global amnesia. And he has an adamant statement about the pharmaceutical companies and how poorly educated physicians are, and that the physician's desk reference is often incomplete, inaccurate, or outdated. I was just talking with someone this morning that said, I have a physician's desk reference here, and they're replacing theirs. And I said, gee, maybe you want to donate it to a library. But that is really something that's quite scary, because we expect that those publications that doctors would have in their offices would be updated. What, when you went into this research, you were a maverick. Nobody was going to be really excited about your doing this. How did you manage to get started on your research? Where did you go? What did you do?
It was terrible. I mean, I was so frustrated, I couldn't believe it. Especially my first few months, when I had a soapbox and I had an audience of zero. I mean, no one listened to a word I had to say. And meanwhile, I had heard of the People's Pharmacy and the People's Pharmacy column, that syndicated piece in the paper by the Gradens, and in desperation, because absolutely no one else, nowhere I turned did I get any support. In desperation, I contacted them, and wouldn't you know that they knew of a new study that had just started at San Diego College of Medicine. And they told me this, and they gave me contact information for Dr. Beatrice Golem. And that was really the only good thing that happened to me during that four-month period, because I emailed her, and within a couple of minutes, she had telephoned me back, and I was her first subject, and she was so thrilled.
Wow.
Yeah, and that, but then the next thing that happened was that Joe Graydon, who runs this column, said, "Doc, do you mind if we use your story in our column?" I said, "Hey, no, I've got no problem with that. Go ahead." And so as a result, my letter that I'd sent them describing my two episodes went around through the syndicated column of a newspaper to some 22 million people. I mean, they've got a good paper. And the reports started coming in, the telephone calls and particularly the emails started coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And within a few weeks, we had several dozen, maybe 30 cases more of transient global amnesia, and we had hundreds of cases of confusion and disorientation and increased forgetfulness, increased senility, all of these kinds of things that people hadn't reported before because they didn't have the slightest idea that they could be statin drug related. So I was off and running then. That was even the beginning of my website repository.
Right, which is spacedoc.com, and we'll talk more about that later. But let's talk about what you discovered relative to cholesterol. I had a conversation at a business meeting with some health people, some professionals on Saturday, and we were discussing how much misinformation is still going out and how little is understood about the role of cholesterol, that there's more than one type of cholesterol in the body, and the value of cholesterol, and I told them all about your books. So let's go into that a little bit, and let's discuss that, because I can tell you the average layperson hasn't a clue that these medications, these statins, can create an effect in an individual that you think that the individual is becoming deranged, especially with mature people, with elderly people.
It was the year 2002 that I thought I had some real help, because a man by the name of Frank Frieger released from his research, released a report having to do with the necessity for cholesterol in the brain. He found out that our entire system for memory in the human brain is based upon adequate cholesterol. It must have adequate cholesterol. He also found that the source of this cholesterol in the brain was our brain's glial cells. In medical school, we were taught that these were the brain's housekeeper cells. Well, now we have a new role for the glial as the production, the synthesis of cholesterol. The reason that normal blood cholesterol couldn't become available to the brain is because when it's carried in the body, the combination of cholesterol with the lipoprotein carrier is too big a molecule. It can't get through what we call the blood-brain barrier. So we have evolved as a species with this alternative method. Now, you know, this is so basic, you'd have thought that someone in one of the drug companies might have known about this. But in the year 2000, he told us all about this. And naturally, we had an answer to all of our cognitive problems, because these glial cells are just as susceptible as any other cell in our body to a statin drug. And, of course, the statin drugs are preventing the glial cell synthesis of cholesterol. So is it any wonder we had all of these problems? They're not only occasional. These things are wide. I mean, this is an almost inevitable thing. And then the next thing that happens, a guy by the name of Matthew Muldoon, working with both lovastatin and with Zocor, proved that there's 100% cognitive loss in all statin users, a 100% cognitive loss in all statin users if you use sensitive enough psychological testing. Now, that is fascinating. But he did it again, and it's absolutely true and repeatable. And So we had a mechanism, and I really thought it was going to be a lot easier. I had expected the drug companies would come up and say, we're going to have to put a black box on this stuff, because we just found out about glial cell cholesterol. We honestly didn't know about it before marketing, but now that we do, you know, they never said a word. I couldn't believe this. Not one word was said. And this has just gone on and on for 7 years now. It's the most amazing education that I have received. Take the subject of transient global amnesia. If I were to go in an office of most doctors right now, they would never have heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
They still, after 8 years, despite all my efforts, wouldn't know about this. And yet, just a month ago, I got, by various means, I got the raw data from MedWatch. From all of the MedWatch ADRs, adverse drug reports. So this is, remember, MedWatch is our big giant umbrella that we use it on post-marketed drugs. So these are the new drugs on the block, and anybody who gets a reaction is supposed to file with MedWatch, which is a branch of FDA, part of FDA. And, of course, these observations are collected and looked at, presumably, and that's a good thing. Okay. I suspected something was wrong when 8 years had gone by, and I had known personally of hundreds of transient global amnesia events that I had assisted people to report. These are people who had reported to me, and I said, oh, you got to report this to MedWatch. So I knew personally of all these hundreds of reports. I couldn't believe that the average doctor didn't know about this. So I decided to count them on my own. And I actually counted out 662.
Holy Moses.
Transient global amnesia attacks just for the drug Lipitor. And they all do it.
Just for that one drug. Over,
yes,
600 reported cases. 662.
It's the most incredible thing. And now you go and you wonder, why isn't FDA telling the doctors about something that I, as a doctor, think is pretty critical to my judgment and in my care of patients? You know, they're just not telling us.
Now
this is documented. I'm not making this up.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
And anybody can have access to this. They can go in and check MedWatch and find out this information. You bring out very good points in your book. One, that cholesterol is not only the most abundant organic molecule of our brain, it is the most important, and the fact that cholesterol reduction is not leading to significant reductions in cardiovascular disease mortality. And there is a Dr. Yuffie Ravenskov's book, The Cholesterol Myths, and he reports as a physician in his research that there was a particular trial that was done and that statin therapy increased the incidence of cancer deaths, completely offsetting the slight decrease in deaths from cardiovascular disease. When you have this kind of information and you are so wanting to educate people, you took the step. The next step, and that was to write material for the layperson to read so that they could get a copy, then they could pass it along to someone else and say, look, this is the reason why maybe there's a problem with your husband or your wife or your aunt or your uncle. What kind of medications are they on? However, when you will go into a physician, I was listening to a discussion this morning, and someone said they had gone to their physician, and their physician had wanted to put them on certain medications. They had tried it, and it had adverse effects, said we didn't want to do it. The doctor was very angry, was actually quite unpleasant to the patient, to their customer, if you will. How does someone handle this? I mean, how are you going to be able to, with a physician that has spent all of these years in education and college, look at your background as a, you know, in dealing in space travel and being an aerospace research scientist. I mean, your education and your knowledge is phenomenal, and yet you're not even listened to. What does the average person, how can they even have a chance of communicating this?
It is terrible. And the biggest problem that I think we face right now is that the entire medical community is uninformed. Now, this has got to be intentional because the data is in the mill. MedWatch has everything we need to know to straighten this out. All that needs to be done is to have responsible people at FDA get this information into the offices of every doctor in the United States, but we would have no problem after that.
Now, you also talk about how when you use the statins, there's so much that goes on when you do this. When you're using the statins, it literally rapes the body of nutrients. Tell us what those nutrients are, and if someone is on statins, what should they have in a supplementation program?
Well, you know, when we were really pleased when the statins first came out. It was about 1990, about 1990, and we heard about this new drug that was really going to knock statin, knock cholesterol in the head. And we were pleased. They said, yeah, it's a reductase inhibitor, and that's all they told us, and we nodded our heads as if we really understood. No doctor at that point, 1990, bothered to pick up his biochemistry book and find out what this reductase inhibition really meant. But it's so simple. I mean, this is biochemistry 101. All you have to do is pick it up and turn to the right page, and there before you, you will see that reductase inhibition results in what we call mevalonate blockade. Now, let me try to explain. The reductase step was a simple biochemical step that any biochemist worth 2 cents could block, and that's why they were going for it. And they called it reductase inhibition. Okay, they didn't say that that step happened to be located at the very beginning of the mevalonate pathway. Now, the mevalonate pathway, yes, it's a straight shot to cholesterol, but they didn't say it also is a straight shot to coenzyme Q10, and dolichols, and to selenoproteins, and to normal phosphorylations, and a half a dozen of other extremely important things. They neglected to say all of this, and we went along with it. And in our combined priorities to reduce cholesterol, we accepted blockage of to varying degrees of all of these other things I've just mentioned as collateral damage. When these drugs were released on the market, we suddenly, immediately became a nation of guinea pigs. And that's roughly where we are today.
What can we do?
Well, there's one other thing I want to just bring up, and that is, it was only in 2004 that we realized that the statin drugs are powerful anti-inflammatory agents. And they have this, what we call nuclear factor kappa B inhibition. That doesn't mean diddly to anybody, but it's an effect we didn't even know about. Even the people making the drug didn't have the slightest idea in the year 2004 that their drugs really were powerful anti-inflammatory agents. That's how the statin drugs work. They don't. What statin drugs do to cholesterol is irrelevant. Of course they lower cholesterol, but that's not important because cholesterol has nothing to do with atherosclerosis. But the drugs, in addition to lowering cholesterol, the drugs are powerful anti-inflammatory agents, and now we have learned in the past several years that atherosclerosis is an inflammatory process. Cholesterol has nothing to do with it, but statins do work.
There's a place for them.
There's a place for them, but not at the horrible doses we've been using. We're using 20 to 30 times the dose that's correct because, at least in my judgment, because cholesterol is not the problem. So why should we be using cholesterol-lowering doses? Why should we go to 60 and 80 milligrams, get your cholesterol down, when it doesn't have any bearing on the subject? Inflammation and anti-inflammation requires only a small dose, 2 to 3 to 4 milligrams. That's what Jay Cohen was referring to.
Let's look at diet. We have been fed the myth, fats are bad for us. We have been told to ignore so many things that if they're not healthy, you will hear it stated today adamantly by people that really think they are very knowledgeable. what can people do in their diets? Now, you've got something, too, about red yeast rice, so let's talk about that a little bit. But let's talk about the diet first. What do we need to do to get back on track for wellness?
Okay, first of all, you need to go back to the diet that I had back on the farm. I mean, I can't believe it. For 40 years, when I was listening to all this stuff as a young doctor, I can't believe that I raised my family on no eggs, skim milk, and margarine. That's how much I was, you know, how brainwashed I was by the powers that be. That's the kind of doctor I was. He'd tell me to do something, I do it. I never challenged back in those days. But the fact of the matter is that that I wish I had, because I'm very, very ashamed, really, at what has happened during the past those 40 years. I've done the wrong thing. But anyway, so we now know that the diet has been wrong. The whole low-fat, low-cholesterol diet, everybody pretty much agrees that that's wrong. But we accepted it. We thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And as a result, we have gross obesity and rampant type 2 diabetes, all because of the national leadership, the wrong leadership concerning diet. So the diet of the past has been absolutely wrong. This low-fat, low-cholesterol is baloney. Now, I'm back now on all the eggs I can eat. I'm back on as much as richer milk as I care to drink. I usually do 2%. I drink whole milk if I had it. And the other thing is butter. Finally, in the last, 5 years now, I am enthusiastically back on butter for the first time in 40 years. I'm kind of angry at this. You know, I've been a doctor for 40 years, and for a substantial period of a portion of that time, I've been telling people the wrong thing. And yet I've been telling them exactly what every other doctor has been telling them.
Mm-hmm.
And this bothers me a lot.
Well, I think you have taken two major steps with each of the books that you've published. And I want my listeners to know that they can go to your website, spacedoc.com. They can...
Spacedoc.net.
Yep. Spacedoc.net. They will find all of your newsletters there. They will find cases of information that are actual experiences by people.
Thousands.
And it's just incredible. And I feel so privileged to be, first of all, aware of you and to have received information on your book. I don't even remember how I found out about it, but the one is statins, specifically statins. And then this one is Lipitor, Thief of Memory, which was your first.
Yes.
And your information, it's worth reading, because if nothing else, a person, if they had your book, after they read it and they use a highlighter to go through it, if they had a problem with a doctor, they'd say, here, read this, doc, and then talk to me.
That happens a lot. A lot of people buy copies of my book for their doctors.
Absolutely.
I haven't heard back from the doctors, but hey, I've got a growing team of supporting doctors, though. Yeah, I am making progress, but you're right, that is being done.
I think that this route is the best route, because when the layperson starts taking a position of responsibility for their own wellness, which is what's happening today, and they have an opportunity to be educated by publications like yours, then they can say, I'm a layperson. I don't know all about biochemistry, but I want you to read this book and then talk to me about your prescriptions and what's going on. Because it is really frightening. I've seen it happen to many people. I've seen it happen to clients, to friends, to family. And it just pains me deeply that there has not been the questioning. And I think many times you are correct. The doctors are ill-informed. My goodness, by the time they're working with patients on a daily basis, it's all they can do to keep up with what they have to do.
This is absolutely correct. I don't blame the doctors. I admit some of them have been quite sarcastic and quite critical, but I understand. We were brainwashed for 40 years. I was just like every other doctor 8 years ago. But I have changed, and my change has come because I've learned. And Uwe Ravenscroft's book is one of the things that have helped me to learn. And Kilmer McCauley's book on the cholesterol, on the homocysteine revolution, another excellent book.
Well, you can find out about these publications. You can find out about so much more. Go to his website, spacedoc.net. Information, you can have it. Look, goodness knows, we've got gobs of it on the Internet.
It would take you weeks to suck that up.
Right. And here you've got a website that enables you to get specifics. If you want information, be educated. Understand. If you've been indoctrinated in a certain way of thinking, it may take you a while to get out of it, but thinking is an advantage. Lipitor, thief of memory, and Dr. Dwayne Gravelin has been my guest. Thank you again so much, Doctor, for being with me today. It has been a real pleasure.
It has been more my pleasure, really. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebel. We are going to be taking a break, and we're going to be back. Don't forget that website, spacedoc.net. It's a must-go to. Talk to you later. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebel will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebel's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hello, this is Donna Sebel, and I want to let you know, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, here are the telephone numbers you can call in to, 877-876-5227, that's the U.S., 877-876-5227, or Canadians, 888-815-9756. Well, let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebel Show. Again, the Canadian number, 888-815-9756. Caller, welcome to the show. Your first name or initial, please, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. It's nice to get through to speak to you. This is Nancy from Bud Lake, New Jersey.
From Bud Lake, New Jersey. How are the temps in Bud Lake? Here they're dripping. We've got rain and it's cool.
It's been absolutely gorgeous here this last week.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we had a few gorgeous days, and then I think that the rain gods got disappointed that they hadn't been able to do their job in the state of Washington. We are living up to our drippy reputation. Anyway, let's get back to you, Nancy. First thing that I am looking at is you've got a lot on the ball. You really are moving forward, and yet at the same time, it's like there's a little cartoon that's in my mind, and you're facing me, and you're stomping your foot, and you're saying, wait a minute. It's not rolling forward. I'm at a standstill. I feel like I'm stuck. And it looks like you've got one of your feet stuck in something solid. And I just have to laugh because you're really not stuck. Not at all. You're just in what I call a time lag. And so before you know it, things are going to be really popping and hopping the way you usually like to have it. And even though you complain about it, you love being busy. You absolutely love having a full calendar.
Mm-hmm.
However, in this past, I'd say 2 years, you've come to realize that you need your downtime. And you've always known it, and you've intellectualized it, but there have been some physiological shifts in your body. And you're saying to yourself, I really like being by myself. I like being able not to talk to anybody, not to have to do something for somebody else. Just, if nothing else, be in my bathrobe and slippers and hair and curlers, and I watch cartoons on television. And I know this is ridiculous, you're not going to do that, but it's just knowing that you could do that if you wanted to. You really need to have that retreat time. And I agree with you. So I think you're going to start planning this. And I want you to stop beating yourself up over the fact that you don't have a perfect figure. God knows there's very few of us that do. And you just need to be at peace with yourself physically, because I'm seeing you putting a lot of stress on yourself about not looking the way that you should. And I would say be cognizant that you, one, have basically a very healthy body. So respect it, take care of it, and appreciate it. Number two, don't go on it to any kind of an extreme program, because it won't last with you. It just won't. And it's because of your stress level, it's because of your activity level, and your interaction with others. But do follow through with following a what I would call a food plan that for you is healthy. Be glad you do that. You will not be unhappy. You don't have to be extreme. You just have to remember moderation and staying physically active. That is really a key for you, because you could find yourself a whole day never getting up out of a chair because you're busy doing work. So you just need to be aware of that. Schedule in those times for yourself. You'll be very, very glad you did. But you've got an intense year here. Lots going on. A lot's happening. And though I saw that cartoon in my mind of you just saying, Donna, it's not the case, I've got this situation I'm in. Look, you are really in a very good space, my dear. You're not in a negative space at all. What is on your mind? What would you like to ask me?
Well, specifically, I'm dealing with a health issue. I was wondering if you could see where I was going with that. Well, I haven't gotten the report back from the radiologist to see exactly what we're dealing with here, but I have a history of endometriosis, and I happen to think it might be a cyst on my ovary, and you know, the doctors want to go in and do biopsies and things like that, and I'm a little nervous.
Well, you have a right to be. You have a right to be nervous, and I think it's important for you to discuss this with your physician. You need to know that you can talk to your GYN and talk to them about your concerns. Now, there is a fact with women that cysts are very common. It's not unusual, for example, cysts on the ovaries, for them to rupture and do all kinds of funny things. These things can happen. Sometimes they're done by the body. A woman might experience it, you know, sort of like cramps or a pain. Sometimes it goes all the way through to her back. It's like, you know, it just can appear in so many different ways. And often when there is that kind of a rupture of a cyst, there will be so much pain. It's just unbelievable. And the body absorbs the rupturing situation. It depends on what's happening with you. And I would try to explore as many options as possible. And endometriosis is a very serious situation. I have a very dear friend that ended up having to have surgery because of the progression. Mm-hmm. It's confusing because it's all internal. And physicians are often in a dilemma. How do we deal with this?
Right.
So what I would like for you to consider is understand that your doctors are very concerned. They want you to be healthy, and they want you to be well. They can only do so much with tests, and there may be a need to do a biopsy. Find out what kind of biopsies they would do. Is there just one they can do? Are there, you know, different levels? Because there is so much advancement in the way that biopsies can be done, depending on who you go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say if you can research yourself, and if you've got a couple of friends that will help you do this, try to talk to different people who are knowledgeable about the biopsies. You know, you can have one group of people in one community know one thing, and then another group in another community, they may know less or they may know more.
Yeah.
It's very tough for the physicians, and I'm talking about people that sincerely care. They're in medicine because they want to help people to get well. And if you have an OBGYN, it's good to say, what other things can we explore here? Because this is scary to me.
Yeah, sometimes I think I'm at the age where I'm not having any more children, and I think a lot of the doctors, they sort of think, well, she doesn't need these ovaries anymore, and just do a hysterectomy or whatever. And
which is not good. There's so much information out that has come out regarding that, and I have my own particular bias because somebody told me that, and I was at an age, I wasn't that old, I was going through certain conditions, and it's a very long story, but I, as long as I live, I will never forget what this physician said to me. He said, if you were a younger woman, we would never do this. You know, the hysterectomy.
Mm.
But since you're the age that you are, and you don't want any more children, we'll just take it all out. That stopped me dead in my tracks.
Yeah, because we need those hormones.
Absolutely. And it's very important. I mean, this, the human body is a phenomenal, phenomenal creation. I mean, I'm just in awe, absolutely in awe. Just like the guest I had on earlier. I mean, there's
That was very interesting.
You know, it's there's so much we don't know. We make all of these assumptions, and the body does such a good job so often. But sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes things go awry, and you're dealing with a situation. Endometriosis is not something to be taken lightly.
I know.
And it is, sadly to say, it is up to us as individuals to do some homework. Find out. There are different ways of dealing with things, and you may have to go to different, you know, to, and I know websites can be overwhelming because you don't know what's real and what isn't. But
right.
You might want to check with the Mayo Clinic or Mount Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. You know, some of the top facilities that are, you know, are the University of Washington. You may want to try to do some homework here and see what you can find out. Should there be a need for a surgery, there are even different types of surgeries that can be done.
That's true, yes.
So,
laparoscopy and...
That's where you need to ask. I think of a very dear friend of mine who was going to a GYN, and this was a woman gynecologist. And fortunately, she had the GYN because my girlfriend, she's one of these, Mary, my goodness, she just, I've never known anybody to do research like she does. And she goes above and beyond the call of duty. And she had found out, this was at a time when she went through drastic problems hormonally and found out about the patches that had just come out. Her doctor didn't know about it. Her doctor's attitude was, let me check on this. And that's what you want from your physician. You want to have a physician that is open-minded, that will say, let me give you some information so that you can research this, and let's look at what we can do, because I want you to be well.
Right.
That's the important thing. That's the kind of doctor you want to work with. Not one that's going to look at you as money bags coming through the front door because of the insurance.
Yeah, this is all coming at a time where... I need to get back to work. I've been on unemployment for several months, and so it's kind of like, I guess because of the stress, the cyst has, it's kicked in, you know, the endometriosis has kicked in, and it seems like it's gotten bigger, and, you know, I didn't know whether you could look down the road or if you saw how, you know, what was going to come through with this, or...
Well, what I would say to you is this. Your general health is excellent. You really have good health. That's what I was looking at. I mean, it just, I'm not seeing you ill. That you have this particular condition and that you're under a lot of stress. The body sometimes absorbs stress in strange ways doing different things. While you're doing your research, try one other technique. And being unemployed is really stressful. I want you to do a visualization.
Okay.
And I want you to do a visualization that feels comfortable with you, where you are looking at your body and seeing it whole and complete and operating in total balance. And if this thing with a cyst comes up, this is going to sound really wacky, But in your visualization, talk to that cyst. Ask the cyst, why are you there? I know this is not going to sound crazy.
No, this is what alternative health is all about.
But pay attention to your body and its signals, hon.
Thank you so much, Donna.
I hope it's helped. I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you what I'm aware of and what I have had experience with. And we as lay people have to be alert, and asking questions is a good thing. So if it's given you some insight, given you some help, I'm grateful for that.
Oh, me too. You have a great day. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye, dear. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Phone lines are open, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. We're coming right back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Like to chat, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Well, I love human ingenuity. And there's a doctor in New York that is doing something really, I think, quite awesome. There's a New York doctor who has opened an office for consultation in the world's smallest doctor's office. His car. Hey, mobile doctor on call. It's Dr. Safwan Sweden. He has, in his automobile, installed a desktop computer, a lamp, an oriental rug, and even has fake plants in the front seat of his Chrysler convertible. And every evening in the heart of Manhattan, he drives around for a few hours dispensing medical advice to passersby. Amazing. This is a mobile clinic of one, the smallest office in the world. Well, it's something that would be needed. Can you imagine how wonderful that would be? I've been in Manhattan. I know how crowded it is. I don't even know how he finds a parking spot. Regardless, maybe he's got special license plates. But whatever it is, that is a service that is just phenomenal. A person's ingenuity. It is incredible. Now, there's another guy that has what is called the Chop Shop. Now, when I read this, I thought this was really cool. The customers at Bodnar's Barbershop in Budapest, Hungary, they don't go in for a traditional trim. None of the electric cutter or the scissors and the comb, not at all. Guess how they get their hair cut? Oh, this should really make your day. They get cut with various items like an axe, swords, vacuum cleaners, and irons. Now, I don't think I'd be interested in going, but do you know what? He has his own method, and apparently the customers line up just to have it done. His chosen method of cutting hair is to put it on a chopping board and to strike it with an axe. Ugh, that gives me the willies just to think about it. And the hair is then styled using a vacuum cleaner or straightened with an iron. Now, for those people that really want to have a real good adventure in this barbershop, the chop shop, all they have to do is hang upside down while he uses a samurai sword with incredible speed. It can give you a very trim haircut in seconds. Well, you know, if you have nothing else to do and you like living life on the edge, I guess that would make your day. I think I'm going to stick with the gal that I've been going to for a number of years. I like her technique a lot better. But anyway, both of these stories came from Ripley's Believe It or Not, and it's called About the Remarkable Reveal. Now, I've been a fan of Ripley's Believe It or Not ever since I first read a newspaper, because I just love all of their unique stories, and they're all based up with, you know, fact and this type of thing. Well, we're going to be having someone on with a new Ripley book next month, so you'll have to stay tuned and hear about the stories of More Than Remarkable, a bizarre, which Ripley's is quite well known for, but it's just incredible stuff. But I thought I would share a couple of those goodies with you today. Well, I want to thank those of you that are sending me emails and wonderful stories, and one of them I want to share with you. If you have a joke, if you have a special recipe that you think is just absolutely the most awesome thing in the world, I want you to send it to me. And then any of your special stories, let me know about it, because this is a good way to communicate, and that's what the show is all about, empowering you as an individual. True stories, you know, I have so many wonderful guests on this show. I think it is such a privilege to be able to share people's stories, because it is through hearing other people's stories, like Dr. Gravelin today, that we can become aware that we are fallible, number one. I mean, face it, when a doctor says that 8 years ago, he was going along with the rest of the pack until his own personal experience. How many times does that happen? It's happened in my life. I bet you it's happened in yours. So when we can share our stories, when we can communicate, then we are giving people options to look at. Becoming aware, asking questions, being open and receptive to change is so important. To be able to think is a process we have to learn, believe it or not. We just don't come in with it. We have to learn it. So that's my joy in being able to share things with you. So again, give me an email. Send me the information to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Now, Bob sent me this story, and it's about Steve Jobs. Now, I was not familiar with Steve Jobs, but by the time I finished with this story, I was familiar with him and really appreciated his story that he had to tell. And this is what Steve said that Bob shared with me through an email. He said, I was lucky. I found what I love to do early in life. Was and I started Apple Computers in my parents' garage when I was 20 years old. We worked hard, and in 10 years, Apple had grown from just the two of us in a garage into a $2 billion company with over 4,000 employees. We had just released our finest creation, the Macintosh, a year earlier, and I had just turned 30. And then I got fired. How can you get fired from a company you started? Well, as Apple grew, we hired someone who I thought was very talented to run the company with me. And for the first year or so, things went well. But then our visions of the future began to diverge, and eventually we had a falling out. When we did, our board of directors sided with him. So at 30, I was out, and very publicly out. What had been the focus of my entire adult life was gone, and it was devastating. I really didn't know what to do for a few months. I felt that I had let the previous generation of entrepreneurs down, that I had dropped the baton as it was being passed to me. I met with David Packard and Bob Noyce and tried to apologize for screwing up so badly. I was a very public failure, and I thought about running away from the valley. But something slowly began to dawn on me. I still loved what I did. The turn of events at Apple had not changed that one bit. I had been rejected, but I was still in love, and so I decided to start over. I didn't see it then, but it turned out that getting fired from Apple was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. The heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner again, less sure about everything. It freed me to enter one of the most creative periods of my life. Well, it looks like I am out of time, so I will have to continue the rest of this story tomorrow. What happened to Steve Jobs? Listen in tomorrow and you'll hear the rest of the story. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a great day. Be here tomorrow. We have got Energy of Belief. It's going to be a great show. Look forward to having you again. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.